Morning and welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to those of you who have come to realize that the world's religious, political, economic, and military institutions are corrupt, counterproductive, unreliable, something that cannot be fixed. I'm Yadam. Our number, if you'd like to join us anytime over the next couple of hours, is 877-300-7645. Before we get to the news, since I have missed the last two programs, one, I want to thank Scott and Kirk for filling in 1 hour, and IQ doing the second. And then yesterday, I think we went to an archive show. The reason I missed a Friday is that my wife and I had to, I've got a frog in my throat here. My wife and I drove to Baltimore to go to John Hopkins. My wife's had issues with her pancreas being deficient, but in a CT scan at the University of Virginia, they discovered a growth at the head of her pancreas. A growth on the pancreas is very scary because if it turns out to be malignant, the average life expectancy from detection to goodbye is about 3 months. If it's the most common kind, if it's the less common kind, then the life expectancy is about 6 months. There is no cure. And so we were concerned, obviously. My wife's primary physician for her pancreas is at John Hopkins, which is the foremost hospital in the world for pancreatic issues and for pancreatic cancer. And so on Thursday, we tooled up there so that we could be prepared for a procedure that was going to start at 7 o'clock on Friday morning. And as we arrived in Baltimore, my wife had some serious bleeding issues. We think they may have been unrelated, but she was checked into emergency the night before her procedure at John Hopkins. They got that stabilized, and she did have endoscopy on Friday morning. And they visually inspected the tumor, they have no idea what kind of a tumor it is from the visual inspection, but they said it is unlikely that the tumor that they inspected is malignant. So, I mean, visual inspection is encouraging. They took a biopsy of it. We do not have the results back of that biopsy. So what I told Scott, and I'll tell everyone listening now that we know that we have gone through this, it is unlikely that it is cancer. But if the biopsy comes back such that it is malignant, that following day will be my last show for however long my wife is able to survive the cancer, because it's a very short leash on life. And if it turns out to be benign, which is what we expect, then we'll continue to do this program as usual. Now, that does not explain what happened on Monday, but for those who have been also following this program, you know that my eldest son's wife is now expecting our first granddaughter, and that we are in the process of buying a home in the Cincinnati, Ohio area to be grandparents and to enjoy being grandparents. It's pretty hard to be grandparents when you live a 9-hour car ride away. We are buying that home so we can be more active in our son's mother-in-law's, daughter-in-law's, and granddaughter's life. And because it is such a long drive, I'll be going back and forth from our Virginia farm. Bought an airplane. For those, again, who have listened to this program know that I'm an ATP airline transport pilot by certification. I've owned airplanes ever since I was about 25 years old. And it's very seldom that I'm without an airplane. I have been without an airplane for the first 6 months of this year. I sold my CJ Citation Jet in December. And I have just acquired a turboprop, preferring turboprops because they're just a lot more fun to fly. And the certification training process is more enjoyable on the turboprop. But still, Even though I have a lot of turboprop time, the transition into a different turboprop is a is 3 days of rigor. The original timing for my training changed, so the last bit it got scheduled for yesterday. I've spent this morning doing ground school on the phone with my instructor, so I could do the show this morning, but immediately upon its conclusion, I'll be punching holes in clouds and doing flight training until the early evening today. So that is what I'm doing, and I'm doing that so that my wife and I can travel back and forth to visit our granddaughter and our son and his wife. So that's kind of brings you up to speed on what's been happening. I know a number of men concerned and have written and asked for an update. Now, returning to the news, something very expected happened on Sunday that I have said for a very long time is precisely what is going to happen in the United States. And what follows, we will have to track, but I will give you a number of scenarios. Greece has come up with having had a socialist government, and having even what they now would consider their moderate or mainstream or leftist government prior to it. It's nationalist government. Even under that, it's kind of like America under the Republicans. There is no fiscal responsibility under Republicans. As a matter of fact, if you look at deficits grow largest when Republicans control the White House and Congress in the United States. That's when the deficits grow the fastest and the largest. What we find in Greece is it doesn't matter if they have a more moderate government or a communist government as they have now. They have developed an entitlement economy. And entitlement economies based on socialism don't work. Now, there are two or three countries that have had a socialist model that are very small countries filled with Norwegian or Germanic peoples that have made a modest go of it for a period of time, but those are rare exceptions. Significant countries, large countries, Greece is a fairly large country, that have tried socialism have all crashed and burned. Soviet Union crashed and burned. China would have crashed and burned had it not been for the fact that they have kept a communist totalitarian government but have moved to a laissez-faire, free enterprise, capitalist economic system. So in Greece, the entitlements, very much like the United States, are their social securities. There are medical socialized medicine, just like we have in the United States. Both of those two are the same. And there's all sorts of underpinnings for society. And then enormous regulation on businesses so that while the businesses can be privately owned, they're so overly controlled by government in terms of the way they treat the employees, how many hours an employee can work, how much vacation time they get, how active their unions can be in the process, how, when you can fire, if you can fire at all, termination costs. They've made it almost impossible for business to do business in Greece. We're moving towards that in the United States. In fact, we're really close to it, where it's almost impossible to start and build a company in the United States unless you're doing an intellectual property, like you're writing software or you're creating something that doesn't have many tangible assets. And so Greece is bankrupt. And the mentality of the people is very much like the United States, where the majority of people do not work. They do not make even those who do work are net beneficiaries of government handouts as opposed to net contributors. The United States is about 55% net beneficiary as opposed to a net contributor. As a result of these factors, there is no salvation for Greece. And up to this point, as being part of the EU, they have had their appetite for these indulgences supported by increasing loans. And they have gone increasingly in debt as a result of these loans, which exacerbates the problem. They don't cure the problem. They postpone calamity, but make certain that calamity will be unbearable. And Greece finds itself in this position. Its debt is somewhere in the range of 175% of GDP. In the United States, our debt is about 110% of GDP. The overall tolerance level in the European Union, which, you know, is a collection of independent states, is 60% is what they set. Is the level which debt as a percentage of GDP is considered at the maximum acceptable level. Greece is at about three times that. And there are a number of countries in Europe like Italy, Portugal, Spain, Northern Ireland, that are above or very close to the 60 level. Keeping in mind, the United States is twice the level that it would be acceptable in the European Union in terms of debt as a percentage of GDP. So Greece is destitute. There is no resolution for Greece. You can give Greece more money, but if you give Greece more money, they're going to continue with their entitlement mentality. If you tell them that they have to diminish the entitlements, then they will scream bloody murder and riot and say that austerity is blackmail, it's unfair, and it's uncivilized, and all of this sort of thing, which is what they're doing now. Now, we've also found that Greece, like the Ukraine, constantly finds itself in this position, constantly tries to get the debt written off. In other words, they don't want to pay it. They want to welch on their agreements. And we find that this happens with great regularity. This is where Greece finds itself. It is threatening and demeaning those that have loaned it money in the past, while swearing that it will not impose any austerity moves. And so what did Greece do on Sunday? This is now exactly where we're moving towards in the United States, and that is they essentially shuttered the banks. If you had money in a Greek bank account, you have no access to it. Your savings is not available to you. Your checking account is not available to you. You are limited on an ATM withdrawal of 60 euros a day. And the timing of this was for six business days starting on Sunday, and thus this yesterday, Monday morning, 6:45. So this is an important story because at least up to this point, the United States is following Greece. Our debt to GDP is at about 110 to 115% of debt to GDP. Could be upwards of 120% shortly. Would not be allowed, for example, in the European Union. Our debt is twice as high as their maximum amount. And it's all because of the redistribution of wealth, the socialist concept of taking from those who are productive to disincentivize being productive and to reward dependency. It is what socialists, what communists, what socialist secular humanists want to do. They want people dependent upon them. Because if they are, then they have ultimate control. What they don't ever think about is what's the long-term play in this, because the economy always falters. It always dies under these kinds of controls, because there's no incentive to take risks and to be productive. There's no incentive to invest, and so everything gets diminished to the lowest common denominator, and so you do de-stratify the economy, so the difference between rich and poor is mitigated, but you do so by robbing the rich and bringing them down to the level of the poor. That's what happens in these scenarios. That's what's happening in the United States. Now, beyond that, what we're going to see is now Greece has said that, you know, we taxed you to death, particularly if you were productive. We just robbed you of all incentive. And so we've already taken a huge percentage of your income. But now what we're going to do is whatever you have saved, we're going to take that too. and we're going to make sure you have no access to it. So if you're, you know, if you're like the average person in America that has $250 in their checking account and is has a quarter of a million to $500,000 in debt, which is the average American, has $250 in their savings and bank accounts, and they owe somewhere between $250 and $500,000 between their credit card loans, their education loans, their auto loans, and their mortgages. That would be the average American. This kind of thing is no big deal, because ultimately, you can't pay, no one can pay their mortgage, no one can pay any of those loans because you don't have access to your checking account, so that's all suspended for you for a while, and you're able to withdraw. In the case of Greece, it's about 60 euros, 66 US dollars a day out of your ATM, which if you only have 250 bucks in there, yeah, that's not much of a restriction. Now, if you remember in Cyprus, that was all well and good to that point. But if you had more than, I think it was somewhere between $50,000 and $100,000 in your bank accounts, in your collective savings accounts, then that money was confiscated. They took somewhere between 25 and 50% of your savings. So they locked you out so you couldn't withdraw your savings, and then they decided they would just take it. They confiscated it. That's exactly what's going to happen in America. So be prepared for these kinds of things. That is what's going to happen in America. And if Greece gets more debt, if they come up with a resolution, first of all, the citizens in Greece will know that they can no longer ever trust the Greek government, which voted in their cabinet meeting after an eight-hour session to shutter all banks for six working days. So you'll know that you can never trust the Greek banking system again, that you can never trust your government. Now, you should be forewarned, particularly if you listen to the show, to know that you should never trust it anyway. But now you have absolute and current proof that they will lock you out of your savings. So what are you going to do if you have savings of more than $50,000? The moment they release the banks, you're going to transfer it out. Now, they'll put, this time, if you didn't do it in advance, they're going to put impositions on you to say that the maximum you can transfer out is a certain amount after this time. So they'll even try to restrict that. They're basically saying, your money is our money. Now, the next thing that's going to happen is that if Greece gets more debt, then they will have these huge restrictions put on the bank accounts. If they don't get more debt, they'll not only have the strict regulations and restrictions on your access to your own capital, but they will confiscate capital. Just take it. So those are the things that we're going to expect. Now, the next aspect of that is a totally defunct country is going to try to float a new currency and a new concept, just like the New World Order is going to do, whereby they will encourage people to participate by forgiving all loans. That's, the old currency is worthless. They were enumerated in the old currency. If you forgive all loans, you'll get the vast preponderance of people to accept the new monetary system, to sign up for it, even though it will mean pledging your allegiance to the new cadre of leaders. But if your debts are forgiven, most people will simply go along, think they've been given a good deal until they're totally controlled. So this is called, in this particular case, in terms of these restrictions, it's called a banking transaction restriction. It is, if you want to have your money, you have to appeal to a banking transaction approval committee. And it is essentially draconian. Your money no longer belongs to you. Cyprus, who is the communist over the Greek economy, rather than accepting responsibility that his country's economic policies have bankrupt Greece, is blaming the Eurozone and its finance ministers for this situation. That's like blaming your heroin supplier for you having a heroin addiction. They have an addiction to debt, and they're blaming their creditors. That's not smart, particularly if you want them to give you more capital. His quote was, "It's now more than clear that when a politician says clear, that means that what they're saying is A, muddled, and second, obscured, third, untrue." So anytime Hillary Rotten Clinton is spectacular at using "this much is clear," let me make this perfectly clear. When they're doing that, they are lying, and what they're saying is disingenuous. It is muddled. "It is now more than clear that this decision has no other aim than to blackmail the will of the Greek people and to prevent the smooth democratic process of the referendum," Tsipras said. You know, if you're the creditor, you really don't give a hoot what the referendum is of the board of directors of a business. If you're unable to pay your loan, you are in default of your loan, and you need the bank to extend you more money, or you'll be bankrupt, kaput. The bank is not going to say, "Gee, you know, guys, why don't you all get together, and why don't you have a referendum? You can ignore the terms of our loan. You just don't worry about the fact that we have an interest rate, that we have a payment schedule, that we have a formula for determining how much you can borrow and when you have to pay bills to it. You just ignore the terms and conditions of the loan you signed. What we'll do is we just love the democratic process. You get together with your board of directors, and why don't you decide which you want to do, and that'll be just fine. The democratic process is so fundamental to our well-being that we are going to acquiesce to whatever you think, whatever your voters, who probably know nothing about economics, whatever they say, these dunderheads on economics, these dependents, these individuals who have indulged themselves, let's let them dictate to us how we should dispense our money." I mean, that's what Tsipras is saying here. Can you imagine if you have a home mortgage and you are in default of your home mortgage and you say, "Hey, listen, my wife and I and my children are going to vote tomorrow, maybe next week, on what we would like to do in this situation. So rather than calling for a default and calling the loan, putting this into foreclosure, what we'd like you to do, dear bank, is to let us go through the democratic process, and we'll vote on what we think is appropriate and how much of your money we want, how much of your money we're willing to pay back, what the terms and conditions are for our borrowing. We will dictate to you once we have voted."
This sounds like the best loan ever.
You imagine. I mean, that's what Tsipras is saying, is that these Europeans are being unfair to the democratic process because they won't let the people decide what they want to do with the money they have already borrowed.
Correct me if I'm wrong on this. I have some loans right now. You determine that in the beginning when you're taking the money. That's when you go through the democratic process. They give you the terms, and then you decide if you want those terms or not. It's not like
typically they don't go through a democratic process. Typically at that point it's the government saying, "Yeah, we'll take your money, and we'll agree to those terms." And the people have authorized their government to do that because there are really no democracies in the country. In a democracy, the people would actually review the terms, and the people themselves would decide whether or not to accept the money.
Yeah, but we both know what democracy really is.
Yeah, it's
two wolves and a lamb talking about what's
right,
for dinner.
Right, deciding what they're going to voting on what's for dinner. Yeah, it's a tyranny of the majority over the minority. But in this particular case, Tsipras, what he is saying here is all for the rhetoric of ignorant people. For it might play beautifully in Greece that, wow, they're undermining the whole democratic process. They don't even want to hear what we have to say in terms of our referendum. Well, their referendum doesn't mean diddly squat. It doesn't mean a thing to this loan. They signed terms and conditions when they borrowed the money. They have to honor those or they're in default, period. Now, if they want new money, it isn't their determination as to what terms will be acceptable. If they're going to the lender gets to dictate the terms. If the lender, if they don't like the terms, they don't borrow the money. Then they're in default and they're bankrupt. That's the way this is played. And for Cyprus not to know that, or the fact is he knows it, but to make a statement, let's make this clear, they're opposing the democratic process. Bull. The democratic process has nothing to do with this. Now, the next thing is blackmail. Scott, am I blackmailing you? Let's say that, you couldn't make your next mortgage payment on your home. And you asked me for a loan of $1,000. And I said, Scott, okay, I'll give you the loan of $1,000, but you know, the terms or conditions are you're going to pay me back in 60 days, and in the next 60 days, you promise not to buy anything other than the things that you need, you know, food, shelter, clothing, that sort of thing. You're not going to go out with my $1,000 and buy a, put it as a down payment on a new set of golf clubs.
I can't take that $1,000 and tell you about a trip that I've taken?
Nope, nope.
Oh, okay.
So terms and conditions is you have to apply this to your mortgage and that you don't buy anything extravagant in the meantime. But I'll loan you the $1,000.
I accept your offer, but you're really impinging on my demographic.
I know, I really am. I really am. Okay, well, then I'm not going to loan you the money. Okay, so I loan you the money.
No,
and then,
you can't do that.
Okay,
that's also impinging.
Okay, then in 60 days, I've loaned you this money, and I've said, okay, Scott, you promised to pay me back in 60 days. I want my money back. And you say, no, you're blackmailing me. How would I be blackmailing you? In fact, let's just say that at 60 days you say, you know, not only can't I pay that $1,000 back, I need another $1,000. And now you know that I spend it on golf clubs. And I'm going to promise you this time that I'm going to really spend it on my mortgage. Trust me on this. But I need another $1,000. Now, if I refuse to give you another $1,000, would that be blackmail?
No, it wouldn't be.
And so how is it blackmail in the case of Greece that they're now going to the Eurozone representatives and say you need to give us another $30 or $50 billion? We're not going to pay back the existing money. We've welched on all the terms and conditions. We violated the contract. But now you either give us more money, or we're going to pretend that you're blackmailing us because you're not willing to give us more money? That's blackmail? How can you use words so erroneously as a representative of a country like this? And without the people themselves saying, or this journalist saying, okay, this is what he said, but look how ridiculous this is. But the journalist doesn't know it. They can't think it through. They said, we're a democratic process. He's got a point there. Those bankers, they're bad. So,
oh, no.
Yeah,
what they do is, what they would do is they do the same thing they always do. Oh, what, are you against democracy? Are you against democracy?
Yeah, I am against democracy, as a matter of fact. But for lots of educated reasons. Now, he says they will not succeed. They're already succeeding. The problem is that Greece is not succeeding. So rather than saying it's they will not succeed, why does he tell the truth? Say we will not succeed. These moves will have the exact opposite effect. They will make the Greek people more determined in their choice to reject the unacceptable, the proposals and the ultimatums of the creditors. So you want to reject the if, put it back to us again. If I offer you the $1,000, but I say here's my proposal, and you say those proposals on I can't buy the trip to Hawaii with the money that I promised would go towards my mortgage, and I can't buy the new set of golf clubs. That is unacceptable to me. Then you think I'm going to loan you the money? And if you agree to those terms and then change your mind and are dishonest, you think I'll ever loan you any more money? Hey, Glenn, do you want the same deal?
No, but... I'm empathetic in different ways to both parties on both sides of the equation to some degree.
Oh, go ahead. Tell me the Greek point of view that is that the bad bankers in the EU are taking advantage and blackmailing them.
Well, here's one problem. If somebody steals your credit card out of your wallet, or now we hear about electronic pickpocketing and stuff,
uh-huh.
When your president or prime minister vastly clearly exceeding his authority, colludes with foreign banks such as Goldman and Sachs and J.P. Morgan and such to subject your country to perverse derivatives debt.
Mm-hmm.
That is really odious debt. I mean, I kind of get that, you know, that there is an internationally recognized concept of odious debt. So when Papandreou illegitimately, you know, took the credit card of the Greek people and racked up a bunch of debt on it with foreign banks in the form of derivatives.
Where was he spending the money? Where did the money go? It went to the people. It went to the people to provide indulgences that caused the people to endear themselves with the leader. He gave them the money. He gave them the money.
Now, then the other problem I have with the whole monetary
system. Since they took the money, they right. really don't have a complaint that their previous leader borrowed money on less than ideal terms. Because, by the way, there may not have been anybody willing to loan them money on normalized terms.
Right.
When you're desperate, you find that the loan shark is the only option in town. You know, and he may take 30%. But it's either 30% or you find no one that's a standard lender willing to give you money because of your past performance. That was the situation of Greece. We'll be back. The government, of course, in Greece is urging Greeks to vote against the proposals to loan them more money, which means that Greece will be in default. The government is saying that the terms are humiliating and that they will prolong the country's financial crisis. Yes, to get more money will prolong the financial crisis. Sure, that makes perfect sense. So, Glenn, do you think that the Greeks have another beef? They have a legitimate complaint? I mean, clearly they're not being blackmailed. And clearly the democratic process is irrelevant here. Greece is not even a democracy. I'm not a fan of the bankers by any stretch of the imagination, and I'm certainly not a fan of either of the last two governments. And the governments do lots of things that are counter to the people's needs, but the people are dependent. They've allowed themselves to get dependent, and when that happens, what are the options?
Well, right. They've allowed it's sort of like, I have a problem with the whole concept of private central banking. I mean, here in the U.S., I mean, once Woodrow Wilson signed the Federal Reserve Act, it was all over. You talk about unproductive. There's nothing more unproductive than a private central bank that does nothing but enters numbers in computers and thus pretending it hasn't created money.
Well, of course. Quantitative easing in America. Yeah, quantitative easing in America. The fact that that not only is money created out of nothing to loan the U.S. money, since no one else in their right mind would loan the money, but the interest is now being paid to the central bank, the Federal Reserve, on money that isn't its. And it's created money that serves to devalue the savings of every American. So you've been taxed twice on this now. You've had the value of your savings reduced because of quantitative easing. They've created the illusion of money, devaluing your currency. And now, on this illusion of money, they're charging interest. And your taxes are confiscated to pay for that interest.
Right, exactly. So you know, the Constitution defines money, but we've not had real money. So you have fiat currency and loans are made on a fractional reserve system, and they're made at compound interest, and then they're packaged and sold as derivatives, and then they sell credit default swaps on those derivatives. Mm-hmm. When you're living in a house of cards and all of those cards are jokers,
My difference with you here, though, Glenn, is that I'm going to take the responsibility right down to the people. I'd do the same thing in America. Let's take it back home. Because Americans have voted for politicians who would not touch Social Security, that continued the pyramid scheme, because they have voted for politicians that enacted Medicare and Medicaid, which are socialist wealth redistribution schemes as well, because they've continued to vote for politicians that increase food stamps and welfare and reverse income tax credits, because the people have, the majority of people have voted for these indulgences. They have brought this debt and this kind of banking system upon themselves. It's the only way that you can have people vote for the indulgences and have those indulgences funded, is to create the illusion of money, the funny money that you're describing.
Right.
The people are responsible.
And this is where, you know, when you start your show out, you know, talking about, you know, systems of religion and politics that cannot be repaired. So you yourselves have stated the fact that the BFC cannot be repaired, will not be repaired.
That is correct. That is correct. The system is broken, but the reason the system exists is because the majority of people have shown allegiance to their country. They have believed in their country. They have shown allegiance to the economic fraud that is being perpetrated. They have become dependent upon those things. So the people have put themselves in the position to be victimized by these institutions. That doesn't change. I mean, we're in agreement. The institutions are rotten to the core. They are broken. The Federal Reserve is a broken institution. Fiat money is a broken institution. You can't resolve it. Congress is a broken institution. Democracy is a failed concept. All of the socialism, wealth redistribution, all broken nationalized concepts, every one of them, they can't be fixed. They're all irresolvable. They're all counterproductive. But they exist because people have allowed them to exist. They voted for those individuals who promoted these kinds of bankrupt ideas.
And I think it's more than interesting. Yahweh himself, understanding the fallen nature of man, instituted the Shemitah and, you know, the Jubilee to create adjustments for just these types of things.
I love it. Boy, do I ever agree with you there. The Yobel, which has been corrupted to Jubilee, but the Yobel, the every 50 years, where all debt is forgiven, all slaves are freed, and property is redistributed. So in your lifetime, you can try to build, but at the end of your life, it is all starting over again. It's the right way to go.